Wonderful. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be back with you again. My name's Nick. If we haven't met, I'm one of the vicars over at All Saints, and it's good to be with you again. Let me pray before we look at God's word to us this morning. Our great God and Father, thank you and praise you that you love us. Thank you and praise you that we see your love for us in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you want us to live fruitful lives, lives that count for something. And we pray this morning, Father, as we think about how you would have us live, that you'd be with us, that you'd equip us, that you'd show us how you would have us be. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. I heard of an interesting article where they interviewed a bunch of people who had... don't worry about that slide. I'm not going to talk about that slide, sorry. I thought of a better introduction. This article where they interviewed survivors of the Blitz in London. And the interesting thing was that the vast majority of the people they interviewed that had lived through the Blitz counted it as the happiest time in their life. Isn't that strange? They were facing sort of destruction every day, and yet they were so positive. Now, what they said was this. They said that it was a time when they were united in serving a cause that was bigger than themselves. They were united, making sacrifices to serve this noble cause that was bigger than their own lives. And it genuinely brought them a sense of happiness, despite the pain. They were each playing their part in this bigger story. Now, it does seem that as human beings, we flourish when we're serving something bigger than ourselves. We do seem to be made when we play our part serving a greater purpose. So let me ask a question. What greater purpose do you serve? If you look at your life, what greater purpose does your life serve? What do you make sacrifices for? See, this book of Ephesians that we're just dipping into this week is all about God's greater purpose, God's epic eternal plan to draw people to himself, to unite people across all different races and backgrounds through Jesus Christ, how he's drawing people together into a radical new community of love that displays God's glory to all of creation. Chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians are all about how God is gathering people together in Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 here, it switches to talk about what does that look like in life? How do we serve that greater purpose that God is calling us to be a part of, that he is sweeping us up to be a part of? And we're going to see, it basically, it's really simple. It's all about serving. It's all about serving. We're going to see three things this morning. Firstly, Jesus Christ gives us each gifts. Secondly, we're to use them to serve others. And thirdly, so that the body of Christ may be built. That's all we're going to look at. Jesus Christ gives us gifts to serve each other, to build up the body of Christ. Everyone with me so far? Great. Well, we're going to dive in and look at the first one. Before I go any further, let me just briefly pause. You'll notice from that, this is talking to Christians about what it's like to be a Christian. So if you're here and you're just looking into the Christian faith, can I be really clear? This is not about how you become a Christian. You become a Christian by accepting what Jesus has done for you and turning and having faith in him. If you like, this is more about what would it be like for your life if you were to do that? What would it mean for your life if you were to turn to him? But for those of us that are Christians, really, I think this passage is going to ask us a very simple question. It's going to ask us, are you playing your part? Are you playing your part serving that greater purpose? So let's dive in. First thing we're going to see, Jesus Christ gives us gifts. Look down at verse 7 with me again. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying that he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended to the lower earthly regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Do you see the big picture that he keeps mentioning there? Is this picture of Jesus giving gifts. So verse 7, him giving grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Verse 8, he gives gifts to men. Verse 11, he gave the apostles. That's the big image here, is Jesus Christ reaching into your life and my life to give us gifts. Now, it uses a picture in verse 8 that's not very familiar to us. It quotes from Psalm 68. And the image here is of, imagine a triumphant king. Okay, a king who's led a great battle to free his people from an enemy. And he's now in his victory procession. And as he's ascending to the throne, he's leading captives, the oppressive enemies that are destroying his people. They're now led in handcuffs behind him in his victory. And as he ascends to the throne, what does he do? He hands out gifts, the spoils of war, if you like. He hands out gifts to his people. That's not a familiar image to us, is it? Would have been familiar in ancient Israel. A king ascending to their throne, giving out gifts to people. But this is saying, interestingly, in verse 9 to 9 and 10, this is saying, do you realize that's what Jesus is doing? Jesus Christ descended to this earth and all the way into the grave to fight enemies that were too strong for us. The evil inside us and the evil outside us, death. He faced those enemies and conquered them. Then when he rose again, when he ascended high above everything, rose and went back into God's presence, he's like a king in his victory procession. And those enemies, death and evil, are like captives led behind him. And what is he doing now that he's at the right hand of God in all his victory? What's he doing? Well, he's giving gifts to his people. At the right hand of God, handing out gifts to you and to me, if we're Christians. Jesus is giving us gifts. Now, what are those gifts? Well, he mentions four of them in verse 11. He gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. There's just that, what, four or five that he mentions there. But do you know what? We know from the rest of the New Testament, that the gifts Jesus gives his people are actually much, much broader than that. There are five lists in the New Testament, and they're all totally different from one another, and they mention more than 20 different gifts. Here are some of them coming up on the board, just to give you a sense of how broad the gifts are. Words of wisdom, giving, it's a gift, administration, helping others, the gift of tongues, acts of mercy, encouragement, hospitality. Do you see how broad? This is just a handful of them, but do you see how broad some of these gifts are? Some of them are spiritual, some of them are very practical, some of them are social, some of them are to do with what you've got, some of them are to do with what you're like. It's very, very broad. I don't think we're meant to think narrowly about these gifts. The thing they all have in common, it's things Jesus gives you that you can use to serve other people. So let me ask, as you look at your life, at your stage of life, what does Jesus give you that you can use to serve other people? It might be time. It might be money. We wish it was money, don't we? It might be money. It might be the gift of encouragement. It might be all sorts of things. What is it for you? At your stage of life, what has Jesus Christ given you that you can use to serve others? Jesus Christ gives us gifts. Jesus Christ gives us gifts. If you're not sure what your gifts are, why not talk to a friend? Why not talk to someone who really knows you? Jesus Christ gives you gifts. That's the first point. Second point, he gives us these gifts in order to serve others or to minister to others. The word minister and serve are the same word really in Greek. To minister, to serve other people. So have a look down at verse 11 with me. Jesus, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ. Now, when it says saints there, that's just the word that the New Testament uses for Christians. I hope you know that. If you're a Christian, the Bible thinks you're a saint already. It's not a special category. But you see what it's doing here? Jesus gives the gifts to the teachers to equip the saints to do the work of ministry, the work of service. So It's important that we get this right, okay? Because often people think of this the wrong way around. We often think, imagine these circles are people in the church family, okay? Imagine, we often think of it as, imagine this is the staff or the ministers, Mark and Trish. We often think that the staff, Mark and Trish, are doing the work of ministry supported by the congregation. Do you see that? That's often how we think of it. We support them as they do the ministry. But look at verse 11 and 12. Look at verse 11 and 12 with me, if you will. Look down. How is it different? What do the pastors and teachers do? They equip who? Yeah, exactly. It's actually the other way around. If you like, imagine again, this is the congregation. Forgive my woeful drawing. Okay. They, if you like, are supporting you. The staff, the teachers, are supporting you as you do the works of ministry, the works of service. Who are the ministers of St. Richard's Church? Who? You. It's you. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you are a minister of St. Richard's Church. Do you think of yourself that way? The risen Christ is giving you gifts, and he wants you to use them to minister to others. Are you playing your part? Are you playing your part? He's giving you gifts in order to serve other people. Now, as I spoke to some people at All Saints about this, they helped me think of there's a real danger with this. Which is that as we go through life, it can be very, very easy that you look back at an earlier time in your life when you had different gifts, maybe more energy or more time or more whatever. And you look back at that time and think, oh, that's when I could be really useful. But now at my stage, I don't have that. I can't be useful. What have I got? What have I got to give? But that's not true. It's different. At different stages of life, we're gifted in different ways. But please, please don't underestimate your ability to serve. Might just be picking up the phone to encourage others. Might be praying. Might be all sorts of things. But the risen Christ, he's not an idiot. He's giving you things. He's giving you gifts. Don't waste time comparing them with other stages of your life. Don't waste time comparing it with other people who might seem more gifted, whatever. You, personally, what is he giving you? Because he's giving you that to serve others. The risen Christ gives us gifts to serve each other. Why? Third point, what's all this for? Well, it's so that the body of Christ might be built up. So have a look down at verse 12 with me again. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children or infants, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and the craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Do you see the image there that it uses, verse 12, verse 13, verse 15, verse 16? The image here is of a body with Jesus Christ at the head. And this body is growing. It's growing healthy and it's growing strong and it's growing bigger. Can we have the next image up? This is the best I could do. A healthy, growing body. And you'll notice in verse 16, this body's growing in love. This body, this family, church family, he's describing, it's not self-seeking and backbiting, backstabbing. It's growing in love. It's deeply united in verse 13. Not everyone chasing their own agenda. It's the kind of community we'd all love to be a part of. Growing in love. getting stronger together. But the best thing about this body, I think, in verse 13, if you notice with me, it's attaining unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. It's all about Jesus. It's growing to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of who? Christ. It's all about Jesus. See, why do we run around trying to serve each other? It's not because we want our little church to grow. It's because of Christ. It's because he's glorious. We want each other to know him. We want Crowborough to know him, because his glory is the thing that lasts forever. So why do we serve the body? Well, because it's his body. And as you and I use our gifts to serve, what is happening? Jesus Christ's body is growing. Now, do you think of it that way? It might not feel like that when you're, I don't know, serving coffee after a service, or you're helping look after the kids at the kids group, or you're picking up the phone to call someone and really you'd rather be doing something else. When you're serving, it doesn't feel like that, does it? But you can, when you're serving, you can say, truly say, what am I doing? I'm building the body of Christ. I heard a story recently of John F. Kennedy in 1962, American president. He was visiting the NASA space station. And as he was going around on this tour, he saw a man with a broom walking down a corridor, one of the cleaners. And he asked this man, "What do you do here?" And do you know what the man said? The man said, "I help put people on the moon." He didn't say, "I sweep the floors." He said, "I help put people on the moon." He saw that what he did serves this bigger purpose. Well, you and me, we don't help put people on the moon. We help put people in the new creation. We help grow the eternal body of Christ. So when you are, whatever it is, serving coffee or helping with a kids group or picking up the phone to encourage someone, when you're sacrificing your time to serve, you can truly say, I'm growing the body of Christ. What better way of investing your life? What better way of investing your time and your resources? He gives us these gifts to serve each other, to build his body. Now, notice in verse 14, he gives this really interesting contrast. So he says, we're doing this, we're using our gifts to build the body, so that we, the church family, may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and the craftiness of deceitful schemes. He uses two pictures there of vulnerability. Do you see that? He uses an infant, children. Imagine a little infant compared to a strong growing body. Imagine a helpless baby separated from its parents. Vulnerable. Next image he uses is of a ship being tossed to and fro by the waves of false teaching. Two images of vulnerability there. Now it's saying that if we use our gifts to serve each other, we won't be like that. We won't be children tossed back and forth by the waves. But I suppose flip that round. If we don't use our gifts to serve each other, well, we will remain like children in our faith. The church family will be vulnerable, will be weak, won't grow. That's the implication of verse 14. How is it that this body, this church family, St. Richard's, how is it that it's going to build itself up in love? Well, look down at verse 16 with me. How does this body grow so that it builds itself up in love? Well, when each part is working properly. Do you see that halfway through verse 16? When each part does its work. So I suppose what I want to ask you is, are you playing your part? Are you playing your part? Are you using what God has given you to serve the body? Now, that's my final point, really. That's my final application. Play your part. Play your part by using what Christ has given you to serve him. Now, as I look around the room, I'm sure there'll be lots of people here who are already doing that. And if that's you, can I just say, that's awesome, and keep going, as you do that, as you're making those sacrifices to serve, you can truly say, I am building the body of Christ. That's fantastic. Be encouraged. But I suppose I do want to say to others, don't be a passenger. Right? Church is a body. It's not a bus. What happens on a bus? Well, you get on and you sit down and you watch and then you get off and you don't do anything for anyone else. Easier to treat church like that. I come, I sit, I hope it takes me where I want to go and then I leave like a passenger. Church is not it's not a bus. It's a body. I mean, if you've slipped into treating church that way, can I just encourage you? There is a better way to be. There's a better way to be involved. Imagine it like an orchestra where we're all led into the same room and the conductor, it's like he gives us each individually an instrument that's tailored for us. And why does he give that to us? Well, he wants us to play our part in the symphony. He doesn't want us just to sit there and watch or to go off and play our own tune in the corner, but to play our part in the symphony. So if you've slipped into treating church like a bus, can I just encourage you, there's a much better way to be involved. Play your part. Play your part. Now, there's an important caveat that I have to insert here, which is very simple. Like, there are times in life, there are seasons in life where we just need to be carried. Again, think of the body metaphor. Imagine I break my arm. For a season, the rest of my body just carries it, just looks after it. It's the same in life. There are seasons in life where we're a mess. Life is hard. And at times like that, we're just carried by our church family. Don't have to serve. Don't have to bend over backwards. We just get carried. And that is absolutely fine. We serve a God of grace. There are seasons in life where we just need to be carried. And that's fine. If you're in that season, that's fine. But that's not, you see here, that's not the default. The default is that we play our part, that we use what he's given us to serve each other so that the body of Christ may be given up, may be built up. So here's the question for you. Are you playing your part? Are you playing your part? Let me pray. Oh, great God and Father, we thank you and praise you that like a loving parent, you want us to flourish, you want us to grow, you want us to live the best life that we can here in this limited time we have on earth. Lord, I pray your spirit would move among us. I pray you would show us how we can love, how we can serve. Help us to see clearly what you've given us and what we can do to serve others. And we thank you and praise you that you sweep us up to be part of something that is so much bigger than our little lives. We thank you and praise you. We don't just put people on the moon. We help put people in the new creation. We thank you and praise you that we build your body here on earth. Lord, help us to do that, we pray, in your name and for your glory. Amen.